So if you could turn back in your Bibles to Jonah. So tonight we're going to look at just the first three verses in Jonah chapter 1. So as we get started in the book of Jonah, we need to understand what we are reading here. There are those who would tell us that the book of Jonah is an allegory or a fable, that it is just a story designed to teach us a moral lesson. I'm sure that we here tonight would agree that we are dealing rather with historical narrative. We believe that these things actually happened. I believe there are three reasons in the Bible we can be sure of this. First, the book of Jonah itself tells us that Jonah is the son of Amittai. The inclusion of this detail tells us something about Jonah, and that it indicates that Jonah was a real person from a real family. Which leads us to the second reason. Jonah, the son of Amittai, is mentioned in the book of 2 Kings, which we'll have a look at in a bit. He was a well-known prophet of God in Israel. And thirdly, Jesus our Lord mentions Jonah and his resulting ministry in Nineveh, which we will also look at slightly later on. So here are the first two verses again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." So I want to start here with just a point of personal application. Sometimes, if we're not careful as we read the Bible, we forget to be amazed by the things that are truly amazing. Here we see in verse 1, the Lord's word came to Jonah. God, the creator of all things, was speaking to a man. There is great responsibility in having God's words. Today, God primarily speaks to us through the Bible. But it seems that in the Western church today, Christians do not read their Bibles on a daily basis. Some Bibles are not open from one Sunday to the next. And many professing Christians do not know how to handle God's word. They make the Bible bow to postmodern worldviews instead of holding to God's word and affirming that God's word is without error and is unchangeable. So as Christians, let's be diligent in how we handle God's word, being careful to hold to what it says, and as we read it each day, to always pray for the Holy Spirit's enabling as we read. And as we do, let's rejoice in God's promises, heed his warnings, and seek to grow in godliness with the Spirit's help. Now looking more at Jonah himself, Jonah was no stranger to the word of the Lord. As we saw a moment ago, Jonah is mentioned in 2 Kings, and 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25 reads, "He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoke through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher." Jonah had a proven track record when it came to God's word. The things that Jonah told from God came to pass. He was a true prophet. So let's look now at what Jonah was asked to do. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." Nineveh was an important city in the brutal empire of the Assyrians. This ancient superpower was Israel's most feared enemy. They subjected enemy nations to grisly forms of torture in order to subdue and conquer. On the one hand, Jonah must have been glad that God had taken note of Nineveh's wickedness and that God was ready to take action. On the other hand, We would understand if Jonah was afraid to travel 500 miles from home, and then once he arrived, to take a day's journey into the city to preach against it. After all, as we've said, this was a very dangerous place. As the Lord's word came to Jonah, he must have wondered at first what God's purpose and plan was. Would God destroy them? Well, surely he wouldn't show them mercy. As we will find out in a few moments, this is exactly what Jonah suspected, that God may actually show the Ninevites mercy. I want us to explore the question, why would God show Nineveh mercy? I believe the first possible reason is for God to stir up his people. God planned to shake up his wayward people by showing his dissatisfaction with their backsliding in a spectacular and unmistakable way. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 21 we read, "They made me jealous by what is no God, and angered me with their worthless idols. I will make them envious by those who are not a people. I will make them angry by a nation that has no understanding." The Lord has already declared that if his people turn from him, he is willing to turn to the nations. Even Jesus goes on to say in the New Testament, in Matthew 11, verses 20 to 24, "Then Jesus began to denounce the nations in which most of the miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." God's message again and again to his people is that they need to follow, they need to be obedient. This is not just a message for Israel who need to turn back to God, but the church today needs to hold fast to the truth, rejecting sin and the devil, and keeping our eyes fixed on Christ and listening to his voice. For we are his sheep and he is our good shepherd. I believe a second reason God would show mercy to the Ninevites through Jonah's reluctant ministry is that Jonah is a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring new life to the Gentile nations. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 39 to 41 reads, "He answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a sign, but none will be given it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here.'" You see, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Therefore, they will condemn these first century Jews at the judgment because they had the preaching of Jesus, the true Messiah, and they still did not repent. And here tonight, we are proof that the gospel of Jesus Christ went out to the nations. Israel's true Messiah came to seek and save a multitude from the nations. So getting back to our passage in Jonah tonight, what did Jonah do next? Verse 3 reads, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, this is the shocking bit. Surely Jonah knew he wouldn't get far. The psalmist wrote, "Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." Jonah, a true prophet of God, runs away from God. A very quick point for application. Are we running away? Is there something God is asking us to do that we are avoiding? I think often in our hearts we know the answer to this. We know when we are resisting God's will. I would encourage you to be prayerful and to seek God's guidance, that we may keep in step with him. Maybe you are here tonight and you are not sure where you stand before God. Then come to him, trusting in his death, resurrection, an imminent return. Call on his name. He will not push you away. If you feel God is calling you tonight, then put your trust in him, for only he can save us and give us new life. So back to Jonah. Instead of traveling overland in a northeasterly direction to Nineveh, he bought a ship going across the sea west towards Tarshish. The big question is why? Why is Jonah running from God? One possible reason for that would be the fear of the difficulties of this mission. This would have been a very understandable reason, as we have seen. Nineveh was a big city in a very brutal empire, and they were Israel's most feared enemy. But here was Jonah being asked to preach against it. Humanly speaking, this is not the best plan, but we know that it's God's plan and that he is in control. As Christians, we find it easy to pray for all kinds of people. We have a genuine hope to see all kinds of people from all kinds of situations and backgrounds come to know the Lord. But in reality, when it comes to sharing the gospel, we find it easier to share the gospel with people a lot like ourselves. Maybe we're not comfortable going to people from different ethnic groups, people who hold very different views to ours, or people who have a lot of complicated social issues, or people who have questionable morals. I speak as much to myself as I do to you. We are not so different from Jonah. Jonah found a barrier in himself, sharing God's message with people very different to himself. Granted, Jonah's mission was a bit more extreme, but I really don't believe that we are that different. The Lord himself gave the church a mission statement. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The church is to be continually crossing barriers. We can take courage as we do this, because God is with us, even till the very end of the age. So let's pray to the Lord for a greater concern for those around us and a greater boldness to reach people whom we would maybe not normally encounter, who so desperately need to hear God's word. Another reason Jonah was running from God is possibly the severity of the message. Although Jonah had not received the content of the message at this stage, he knew it was going to be a difficult message to deliver, for he was instructed to preach against the city. Are we tempted to take the soft approach when we need to be straight with people? Are we tempted to avoid talking about things like hell and judgment and other hard things that we find in the Bible? Today, people turn to all sorts of things, often in quiet desperation, as they try to ease their troubled minds. As we meet them, we need to leave them in no doubt that it is Jesus who forgives, it is Jesus who heals, it is Jesus who saves. I think the real reason that Jonah was running from God, and for this we need to fast forward slightly in Jonah to chapter 3 and verse 10, going into chapter 4. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Jonah was running away from God and away from the mission God had called him to because he could not bear the idea of God showing mercy to the Ninevites. Jonah, it seems, was glad to prophesy about restoring Israel's boundaries back in 2 Kings, but when it came to the Ninevites, Jonah ran because he knew that God was gracious and compassionate. And the idea that God might show mercy to the Ninevites seemed wrong to Jonah. As we have said, Jonah suspected God would show mercy, yet God was telling him to call out against them. You have to wonder if Jonah thought that God would be making him out to be a false prophet. God did not destroy them in the end. Jonah might not have wanted to seem foolish, calling out against the city that God forgives. Jonah's theology didn't seem to have room for the salvation of Gentiles. So in closing, what application can we get from this? How do we apply this to our situation? Maybe the first thing we need to understand is that we are not necessarily Jonah in this story. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save a people lost, without hope, a people without God. We are like Nineveh. We have no hope without God. We need God to show us mercy. We need God to be gracious to us. There is a sense here that maybe Jonah had forgotten how merciful God had been to him and his people. Once we understand just how much God has done for us, lost and unworthy sinners that we are, then we have something to tell the world. So Christian, be encouraged by God's grace and remember that we have good news to proclaim. Amen.